Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield to Knightstown and beyond. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine. With care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, 5 minutes after 10. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. It's time to get down to business.
Oh, great.
Tonight, five of the six Republicans hoping to be Indiana's next governor are going to meet for their last primary debate. And you can hear all of that right here on 93 WIBC. So this will be, what, their last of three other debates they've had and a business forum. Although not everyone was invited to all of the previous other events. They've all been invited to this one. However, they won't all be showing up.
So Mike Braun, on the heels of missing a vote in the U.S. Senate over attending a swanky fundraiser, has decided he won't make that mistake again. He's going to be in Washington, D.C. voting on our behalf. And so he will, is my understanding, barring some unforeseen change of schedule, not be participating in the governor's debate tonight. And we will have the debate for you live here at 7 p.m. on WIBC. Now, my question, and I'm not trying to be facetious when I'm asking this, I'm genuinely curious, is at this point, how many people are actually undecided?
Yeah.
Who's sitting there going, I don't know, these people have been at this for months. And I've got all these ads and I've gotten all these mailers, but I just, I don't know. I mean, to me, that's ludicrous, but I also understand that's actually how it works, where a lot of people don't even pay attention until the final couple weeks.
Well, the last polling I saw, it was at 42% undecided, and then it went down to 23% undecided.
That seems reasonable that a quarter of the people would probably be undecided. Mm-hmm. And if indeed that's accurate, then there's really no way that Braun could possibly lose, and maybe not even being at this debate is the best thing for him. He's got clear cover. He's in Washington, D.C. voting. You can't make him look silly. You can't pin him down on anything. And so maybe that is indeed the best thing. I'm just amazed at how uneventful this whole thing has been. I mean, the attack ads on Braun, who he was a candidate made to be attacked based on his actual voting record. His actual voting record in the Indiana House is horrendous. The 40-plus tax increases he voted for, largest tax increase in the history of the state. The one time he got pinned down on it in that debate, he clearly appeared not to even know what he'd voted for. He didn't even know the gas tax goes up every single year. And yet, we've seen almost nothing in terms of hitting him on that, the voting to print all that money during COVID. We've seen almost nothing about that. We've seen guys like Doden kind of run anti-Braun ads around qualified immunity and BLM stuff. But other than that, kind of a weak field, and Braun, it appears, is going to skate into being the nominee for governor.
So Brad Chambers, senior strategist, did release a statement about Braun not being at the debate tonight, and he said career politician Mike Braun continues to insult Hoosiers and put himself first.
Come on.
He said he'll skip votes in D.C. to collect checks at a campaign fundraiser, but then use votes to skip a debate and hide from voters and his record. It's no wonder that his polls are dropping. Hoosiers have had enough.
Okay, so, wait. Real quick, though. Does that say, do they attribute to who that quote went to?
Yeah, it was Brad Chambers, senior strategist.
But they give a name, because I don't want to...
Marty Oaks.
Oh, yes, of course, it was Marty. Marty is kind of the leader of the Good Time Fun Gang over there, of course. And people need to realize, Brad Chambers assembled basically Holcomb Hupfer Incorporated, and they basically, including Kyle Hupfer himself, was transferred over there. And some of the most powerful, most... I mean, that's hilarious that... You don't really get any more party insider than someone like Marty, and yet he's going to stand there in judgment of Mike Braun. Look, Mike Braun should have never missed those votes in Washington, D.C. for that fundraiser. That's egregious, and he should totally have been ridiculed for that, and I don't think people hit him hard enough on that. However, I'm not going to beat a guy up because he's actually doing his job. I mean, you can't have it both ways. Either we want him to go do his job or we don't. I'm not going to beat him up for not doing his job. What I will beat him up for is the fact that he has a terrible voting record, mm-hmm. as a member of the Indiana General Assembly. And if you vote for Mike Braun, you are voting for the status quo. Mike Braun is the status quo. Everything about his time as a state rep was status quo. He supported all the tax increases. He supported the gas tax going up. He supported growth of government. He supported growth of the state budget. There was nothing transformational that Mike Braun fought for as a state rep. You're voting for the status quo. I mean, Chambers fairly gets lumped in with Holcomb, like they are the same guy. All the Holcomb people, for the most part, have gone with Chambers. But Braun is not much different. He supported all that Holcomb stuff. And there's not a single thing Mike Braun has laid out that an average person would go, if Mike Braun gets elected, then fill in the blank. Can you? I mean, if Mike Braun gets elected, then blank will happen.
Well, I would assume more spending.
Right, but there's no, hey, if Mike Braun gets elected, here's the proposal that's going to be on the table to fix property taxes. If Mike Braun gets elected, here's the government reforms that are going to take place. If Mike Braun gets elected, here's the spending controls that are going to be implemented. None of that. He hasn't laid out a single solitary policy position that you can concretely pin him down on. And so when he wins, because it appears he's going to win, he's going to skate in there with a blank check to weasel and wiggle and wobble into whatever corner or position he wants to, because nobody held him accountable.
Okay, so it's not that he did vote, it's how he voted. Now, if you look at this from a different lens, Jennifer McCormick, who's running for governor on the Democrat side, she tweeted out, only 11 Republican senators voted against the final passage of the Ukraine funding bill, one being Mike Braun of Indiana. We must vote him out of leadership in November. So she sees him as the front runner.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Totally is.
But she's taking the other stance, saying, you know, he voted against the Ukraine funding bill, so that's why we need to get rid of him.
Well, and there's so many moving parts with this governor's debate that are very interesting for people like me who have watched Indiana politics for a long time. I mean, you're seeing kind of the end of the road probably for a couple of people. And this will certainly be the end of the road for Curtis Hill. I mean, if indeed the polling holds up and he gets 5% or whatever he's been polling at, it is one of the greatest falls from prominence probably in the history of the state. It's Murdoch-esque in the decline, in the sense that you had a guy who had governor labeled all over him, and what he did or didn't do is still in dispute by certain people. But the fact is, he put himself in a position where he cost himself a political career. And it should be a warning, hopefully, to future rising stars or whatever, that you've got to be on your best behavior and accountable at all times, because you could end up like Curtis. The other one that will be done after this is Suzanne Crouch. Suzanne, the Braun people are not going to want to deal with anyone associated with Holcomb. They're going to flush most of those people out of there and bring their own people in, because while Braun is very establishment, he's not tied into that same group of people. That's the way elections work. You reward your friends. And she's obviously been connected with Holcomb for all those years. She's 70 whatever years old. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be the end of her. So I think you're going to see, this will kind of be historic in that sense. You're going to really probably see the end, if indeed this holds up, the end of kind of two political careers coming out of this governor's primary.
So the Indiana Debate Commission did say that if voting concludes early enough, Braun could potentially still make the 7 p.m. event tonight, which will be broadcast right here on WIBC. So it's almost like Willie or Wonnie.
The really interesting thing about all of this is the fun will begin.
That's the interesting thing to me.
Right.
This whole thing. Will Braun be there or not?
Well, and that is an indictment on the other candidates, right? You had six people. The only one to me who has been remotely interesting in this is Jamie Rittenour. Mm-hmm. She hasn't raised money. She's not been a player throughout the statewide television, radio, digital media, et cetera. And so while she's going to get a groundswell of support from her grassroots activist people, look, as of right now, I'm voting for her in protest because they kicked her off the debate stage. That's complete crap that they did that to her. And because no one supports minority candidates like Rob Kendall, I'll probably be voting for her, barring some amazing thing happening tonight with one of these other candidates in
the
debate.
But that's just it. Is there any amazing thing that could happen that would sway you?
Yes. If Suzanne Crouch were to come out and say, I hate Eric Holcomb, I hate how he's treated me. I hate that he's treated me like garbage. I hate what he's done to this state. And I vehemently regret not speaking out over the past 7 years as this guy has treated other people like crap and the taxpayers like crap. Then, hey, that's got my attention.
What does she have to lose at this point? Because as you said, Chambers isn't going to keep her around. Mike Braun's not going to keep her around. But so what does she have to lose?
Because it's in the – I would answer that question with the question. Why did Curtis Hill not show up to the debate that we did? He's polling at somewhere between 2 and 5%. Mm-hmm. He had nothing to lose. Yet we were told by a very reliable source, Curtis didn't come to that debate because in his world, he would be seen – it would be beneath him to be debating with Jamie Rittenour. Mm. Rather – look, these politicians' minds don't work the way like entrepreneurial minds work for the most part. And – you saw that like with Jefferson Shreve play out. Like there's something even the entrepreneurs, most of them, when they get into politics where that thing just shuts down. You and I are looking at this like with Jefferson Shreve going, you ran for mayor and you had nothing to lose. Why would you, even if you believed it, which you, we know you, he didn't, why would you adopt a public safety plan that is the exact same as your opponent's that has pissed everybody off? Because in their world, like their mind just doesn't work that way. So in Curtis Hill's world, even though you're polling somewhere between 2 and 5 and you have nothing to lose, well, in his mind, me being seen as less than, or what if Rob turns this thing into a joke or whatever, well, that might embarrass me. Well, no, Curtis, your polling embarrasses you. The likely in election results should embarrass you. But their minds don't work that way. These people don't know how to seek opportunity. They know the playbook. They know the playlist. And part of that, because that's what they do, is why you've seen such boring campaigns run. Everybody has run to their playlist. Everybody has run to the playbook. Nobody has recognized, if you were Chambers or Doden or Crouch, I'm at 10 and Braun's at 30. We gotta make something work here.
We gotta do something. But don't you think that Suzanne Crouch's people are saying, well, you know what? According to the latest polling, Eric Holcomb actually has a pretty favorable rating.
So
they're trying to thread that needle of we kind of want to be attached with him, but kind of not.
Nah, and this is where, again, they don't understand. This is why they should put me in charge of these campaigns. Mm-hmm. What happened at
convention? It pays better, too, by the way.
Well, yeah, no kidding. What happened 2 years ago at convention? Eric Holcomb is so disliked inside the base of the Republican Party, he didn't even show up that Saturday. The governor, the sitting Republican governor, didn't even show up Saturday at the state party convention. Why? Because he knew what would happen. He'd be booed off the stage. The Republicans in Indiana at that convention elected a complete and utter buffoon in Diego Morales, a guy who paperwork showed had been fired from the Secretary of State's office before. Paperwork showed was probably about to be fired again. They said, we don't care about his incompetence. We hate Holcomb this much that we're going to vote for this idiot just because we have to send a middle finger to Eric Holcomb. See, the polling stuff doesn't compute with how people have actually behaved. And so I think that these candidates get so into, well, the polling said, versus what they're actually seeing on the ground. And most importantly, people who are going to vote, 100% going to vote, and going to motivate other people to vote inside of Republican primaries. I think they get in these playbooks, these consultants, these whatever you want to call them, and they're going to end up, these people are all going to end up with 10 to 12% of the vote. And in the case of Doden and Chambers, they're going to be down millions of dollars, and maybe that doesn't matter to them. But I think the day after Election Day, they're going to look around and go, should have listened to the radio guy. Mm.
I think it could be an interesting exercise tonight if somebody wants to listen to it here on WIBC and then compare with somebody who watches it on TV, see if it's the whole Kennedy-Nixon thing.
Yeah, that will be interesting, and it will be interesting to see what these other five do without Braun on stage.
Right. You're listening to Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Tired of hearing Rob talk about all the bad news? Time to find your happy place. Turn that frown upside down. It's time for Shitting Rainbows with Rob.
Something tells me I'm into something good. How about rainbows? Nachos with Casey. You get those every day, don't you? So we started off the program talking about the ramp metering that's going to come into Central Indiana. And let's get into one of the good things about Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay? 10 things that only people from Indiana understand.
How exciting.
And we start off with navigating the crossroads of America.
Oh.
Because of our central location and our extensive highway system, it makes it a hub to cross the country.
Now,
right?
you're some company has come up with some sort of list about the 10 great things about Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
The only people from the great state of Indiana will understand.
Oh, yes. Okay. So the
things to be positive about.
Right.
The
absolutely.
Hoosier State.
Absolutely.
And whether it means driving through the flat farmlands of northern Indiana or the rolling hills of the southern part of our state, you can navigate the crossroads of America quite easily in the great state of Indiana.
So this comes from a company or a website called WhenInYourState.com. Mm-hmm. So I gather they have done this for all 50 of the states.
Yeah.
They've come up with 10 things we can at least kind of throw out there that
these
you should be proud of.
These are things that we're to be proud of,
yeah.
Right?
All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Another one is the tradition of basketball
here
in Indiana. It's our way of life, as we've seen with all of the excitement based around Caitlin Clark coming to Indianapolis.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to ask viable questions during this segment, or am I going to get zapped? Because I really...
You're supposed to be positive,
well,
even when I'm leading it.
What if I'm being positive, but I'm asking... I mean, what, are we supposed to lie to our audience?
No, go ahead. Ask your question.
Well, I would argue that Indiana's not a basketball state anymore. I would argue we're a football state.
Mm.
I mean, if you go to your average Friday night football game versus a Friday night basketball game, and this is 100%, well, it's two things. One is the rise of the popularity of football. Indiana has caught on to that, like many other states have, but also the class basketball thing. I think since 1997, they took that from the people. So I would argue, not to fight with this list of made by somebody I don't even know, but I would argue that we are now a football state. I think football is far more popular in Indiana than high school basketball.
You don't want to consider the past, I don't know, month of arguments that we've had over Purdue versus IU and how excited everybody was about Zach Edey.
But this says the tradition of Hoosier hysteria. When you think of Hoosier hysteria, literally, so Casey, I read...
You mean IU. You're thinking IU.
Casey.
Yeah.
I should not be more in tune to the stories than you are. But once again, even though you give me zero credit whatsoever for reading the template or reading our stories, sometimes I do my homework.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read you what they said here.
Okay.
All right. Basketball isn't just a sport in Indiana. It's a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Hoosiers understand the passion and excitement of high school basketball, where gymnasiums packed with cheering fans create an electrifying atmosphere during the annual tournament known as Hoosier Hysteria. I would argue since 1997, it hasn't happened. It isn't Hoosier hysteria anymore. Now, there are occasionally games like Fishers played Kokomo this year. Kokomo had that Jolly Green Giant guy, and Fishers was the number one team. Yeah, that Newcastle, there were a lot of people at those games. But it used to be there was a time where every Friday and Saturday night, if you went to your local high school gym, you may not even be able to get a ticket. And now it's like going to a... I don't even know what's something that's poorly attended now. I don't know. Whatever. But I saw that and I thought, I don't think that's accurate. I think this is by somebody who doesn't live in Indiana.
Who doesn't live in Indiana. Okay, well, can we expand on it, though, and make it maybe professional basketball? You've got the Pacers.
I agree.
Who are in the playoffs tonight.
Yeah.
8:30's the game.
We can only go up from there.
They play the Bucks. Oh, and that reminds me that Friday night's game is going to be a gold out, and everybody gets a T-shirt.
Oh, so you spend $5,000 on your ticket. We'll give you a gold T-shirt.
It is a gold T-shirt. It says Indy is back with the Pacers logo on it if you go to Friday's game.
Tonight is a big night, though, because the Pacers desperately need to win this game. They didn't play up to their potential. Since this is our positive segment,
right.
They didn't play up to their potential on Sunday, and some people are rather unamused with the end result. And so tonight is a really big game for the Pacers at 8:30. They're going to play the Bucks at Milwaukee, and if they go down 2-0, we are in some big trouble. So the Pacers need to get it together tonight. But Hoosier, I'm calling bull. By the way, let's get back to your list. I didn't mean to cut you off there. It does have many fine things on here. Cornfields and soybeans. Of course, they're tearing all those down. Let's go to something that might still be existing by the end of the decade. The Indy 500.
Embracing the Indy 500, not just a race. It's a culture phenomenon. By the way, we're 33 days, 2 hours... 2 minutes and 22 seconds
Are you going
away.
This year?
You know what? We had that conversation because the dude's birthday is the day after.
Oh, yeah.
And I was kind of like, you know, long weekend. Do you want to go someplace else? And he decided if we went someplace else for the long weekend, we would be thinking, why aren't we at the Indy 500?
Right, that's correct.
So, you know, we'll probably, yeah.
You
we'll
live
go.
3 minutes from the track.
I know. He did say, though, he doesn't want to walk to the track this year. He doesn't want to sweat his way there and sweat in the stands. So I think we'll find.
Because you did that, right? Your first year here, didn't you walk to the
first
Indy 500?
2 years, yeah.
Oh, you've done it 2 years in a row.
We live about 2 miles from the track. I thought, why not? Just as easy to walk than find parking.
I cannot believe you would walk through that. Those neighborhoods.
It's not so bad the walking there. It's the forgetting that you got to walk across the Indy 500, the track too. So
yeah.
It's like another mile.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, I mean, that neighborhood around you.
Yeah.
Some.
I'm not afraid.
Well, God
broad,
bless you.
Broad daylight.
Because I'm afraid.
No.
I'm desperately afraid to go to your
house.
You
got to go for it. Some other things that you should celebrate of the great state of Indiana, the fickle weather patterns.
Yes, we should celebrate that.
Hot summers to cold winters, everything in between.
Hey, a tornado could pop up at any moment. You should be very excited.
Navigating the Amish country. By the way, I wrote an article about Amish in the great state of Indiana at WIBC.com if you want to read more about that and the different... groups that they have throughout the state. And the last thing they say is celebrating the state fair. Of course, the Indiana State Fair this year, August 2nd through August 18th.
You know, one thing they left off the list, and I can't believe they did that.
What's that?
The news with Kurt Darling.
That is something to celebrate. And we'll do that next on 93 WIBC.
It's time to hear from you. Kendall and Casey present Voicemails. Brought to you by QC Kinetics for non-surgical regenerative medicine treatments at 317-559-PAIN.
That is the phone number if you'd like to contribute to our voicemail segment. Questions, comments, smart remarks, whatever is on your mind. Rob, I'm going to brace you now. I'm warning you now. We have a guy who calls just about every day.
Is it the prison guy?
No. He wrote a letter. We'll share that with everybody next hour.
Oh, next hour. Yeah, I got a letter from... There's so many prisons in this state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got the... This is like the third prison we've gotten a letter from. And that's pretty wild.
Are we making crime illegal again?
We are number one show inside of prisons, it appears, in the state of Indiana.
So we also get a call just about daily. And let's just say he's our hater.
Oh,
he likes to call. He's one of those guys who listens to get his blood pressure elevated and then call and argue with us over everything we say.
And why wouldn't you? I mean, there are just a mere 24 hours in a day. So why wouldn't you spend three of those very valuable hours subjecting yourself to something you absolutely hate?
So we're going to play his phone call next hour.
Oh,
because this segment we're going to keep a little lighter.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Very
so
exciting.
We do have some voicemails we're going to get to in about an hour from now. So our first one on deck for this segment, you know, we were talking about the self-checkouts.
Yeah.
How they're going away at grocery stores.
Correct.
Many of the grocery stores are bringing back cashiers. And I posed the question about Safeway because Safeway has done away with all of their self-checkouts. And I wasn't aware of any Safeway grocery stores near here.
Yeah, there is one.
Yeah, somebody wants to call and tell me that.
On the Safeway issue, Lafayette has a Safeway grocery store. And as far as pumping your gas and then going in and pay for it, right in the little ass town of Colfax, Indiana, that's exactly the way they do it at the IGA grocery store.
So I'd said, I think one of the great declines of American society yesterday, I said this, was when they stopped allowing you to pump your gas and then pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly it was a reaction to the fact that there were so many thieves amongst us who just weren't paying for their gas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the attendant supposed to do? Get on down the highway and chase the person down. Understand why they did it. I so loved doing that I remember the very last time I ever paid for gas after I had pumped it. Somebody said yesterday, too, there is a Safeway still in Indianapolis, too. They'd sent the address.
Okay.
But I think they emailed it over or a social media did over. So apparently there are still some Safeways rolling around out there.
Right here in central Indiana. Okay, another phone call about the self-service checkout and going to your neighborhood grocery store.
Hey, Rob and Casey. I'm completely on deck with you guys on the self-service checkouts. Let's keep them up because the wife and I take advantage of them all the time. We can sort our food out and it makes it a lot easier job when we get home. Now, as for the mega stores and all that, Rob, start going to the B-size stores for your Kroger and your Walmart grocery store and other smaller stores like Fresh Time. Go to them. You get to know the people well. We have quite a few friends at one of the Kroger stores on the south side here, Corky, Ben, Ratio, and Sam, in both the pharmacy and the checkouts and people at the various counters in there. And the smaller stores get to know the people a lot better. So you'd be surprised. You still have that neighborhood grocery feel.
Do you want your cashier to get to know you?
No, there was a time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there was a time where when the community was small that I grew up in, where there was something endearing knowing that Freda or Fran or Susie or whoever was going to be ringing up your groceries when Marsh was still kind of obviously there were many Marshes, but they kind of had a down-homey type of feel to them
mm-hmm.
in the old East Shopping Center at Brownsburg, or the Jesse's Grocery Store located behind the Marsh that had been there since the earth was young. There was something endearing about that. Now, I just want to kind of get in mm-hmm. and get out. We've blown through the fond childhood memories that I have of living in an eclectic, fun little town where everybody knew each other. That's gutted. You know what I want to be left now, Casey? Alone.
I don't know if I want my cashier knowing that I was just there two nights before buying a bottle of wine and a bag of Cheetos.
Yeah.
Oh, back again, huh? It's one of those days.
I am content to ring up my own groceries. I have kind of mastered the art of that. I've gotten pretty good at it. And like I said, I don't think I want to know anyone in my town anymore. I just want to be left alone.
Like, imagine you go into, you know, the big box store, the Walmart or the Meijer, and they know who you are, and they see, okay, so you're buying some ground beef, you're buying some bread,
yeah.
milk, plunger. What's going on at your house? Like, I don't know if I really want them knowing all the details.
I will say this. There is, for my second job, obviously, I deal with the public quite a bit. And I will say I've gotten to know, obviously, many people that are regular attenders at my second job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's little nuances you pick up and they've kind of become fun little games. There's a guy who plays golf every weekend and he is my one guy who always pays not only with cash, but exact change.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's become a fun little game
yeah.
where he comes in and he puts the exact change down. And last weekend, it's such a game to him. He didn't even come in. His buddy that he was playing with came in and paid and said, this is from Exact Change Guy. And I knew exactly who it was. And we had a little chuckle about
uh-huh.
it. And so if you're in an environment where there's an almost norm or cheers aspect to whatever small business you're visiting, look, I'm just not rich enough to shop at the Fresh Times or the whatever. So that's not going to happen, Tom. I love you, but I don't know how much you think I make here. It's just not happening.
Well,
I need big box grocery prices. I'm sorry. I've done my best.
Let me ask you this about Exact Change Guy. Do you know his name?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just securing his privacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get that.
But that's what we call him. I call him Exact Change Guy. I mean, I can see his name on the sheet and everything else. But those areas do still exist. But you got to create an environment
mm-hmm.
inside of your business where people want to feel as though they're
secure?
A part of that.
Yeah.
And let's face it. I am paid a gargantuan amount of money to do my weekend job, far more than I'm actually worth, because I bring that sort of personality, charisma, and charm to the front desk, Casey.
Well, that's the sort of community that the self-checkout at the grocery store is doing away with.
Yes.
Now, if he didn't show up, you would probably miss him. You would realize he wasn't there that weekend.
Yeah, I've pretty much got, just like with this job, I've pretty much got my second job down to a routine where I have to put zero effort into it. So I've got two quasi full-time jobs, and I'm putting zero effort into either one of them and succeeding brilliantly at both. Casey, it's a pretty great existence.
Congratulations. Okay, so we had a conversation about beer. There was a list about the best light beers on the market, and we put it out there. What are you drinking these days? And here's our first beer call.
Hi there. My name is Dave, and my favorite light beer is Bud Light. Miller, L-I-T-E, light, I think is just so weak and out of tap, it seems like it tastes horrible. And the other interesting thing is the zero alcohol Heineken for a six-pack is probably around $10, and I think you can get a six-pack of regular Heineken for $10. So I don't know why anybody would pay that much money for zero alcohol beer, but hey, take care. I like to listen to you guys, and I looked up Casey and you on the website, and I always pictured Casey with longer blonde hair.
I thought he was going to picture you with something else. I didn't know he was going to go with longer blonde hair. Thanks for keeping it PG.
He kept it clean. Thank you for the phone call, Dave. Have you been told that you look like how you sound, by the way?
People always say, I thought you'd be taller. I didn't know you were a child.
I've been told that people thought I was a redhead and thinner than what they expected as well, which
well,
is nice.
That's a bold thing to say to a woman.
And you have more teeth than I expected. Okay, another...
wow!
Another phone call about beer.
All right, Casey. If you're going to talk beer, you got to get your commercials and your names straight. Mm-hmm. You cannot call Miller Lite the king of beers. Budweiser is the king of beers.
Yeah.
Miller is the champagne of beers. Mm-hmm. You cannot be mixing your metaphors, girl. You're going to confuse somebody, and you're going to piss some of us off.
Uh-oh.
I'll see you later.
Hope I didn't make him that angry. He's right, though. The champagne of beers versus king of beers. Okay, one more phone call. This one's called Mud, Kevin. I know it doesn't sound like a beer call, but it is.
Hey, Rob. Hottie with the heavy natties. I'm drinking Mississippi Mud. Comes in a little miniature moonshine-looking jug, the finger hole and everything. It's half pale ale, half stout beer, a little higher alcohol by volume.
I've never heard of that before.
Speaking of fat people who drink a lot of beer, Hammer. Hammer's coming up next.
You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Machine Hammer joins us in the studio with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
We were having a discussion off air. Is the cast of the old TV show Taxi the greatest cast in the history of television?
So we got into this because Casey and I were talking about Who Framed Roger Rabbit last hour. And of course, Christopher Lloyd plays Judge Doom, the villain in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And you were pointing out Christopher Lloyd is one of those guys who always delivers.
Right. He's never going to be the star in anything, mm-hmm. but he's always going to deliver. He makes whatever he's in better. And there's a few people that do that. Folks that are never going to have their name on the marquee, Eugene Levy. Mm. No matter what Eugene Levy is in, he makes it better and he delivers.
Yep.
Gary Cole, one of the most underrated actors that out there. Lumberg, Ricky Bobby's old pot dealing daddy, Reese Bobby, Mike Brady. Whatever Gary Cole is in, he makes better. He always delivers. And Christopher Lloyd's the same way.
So then we started talking about kind of early Christopher Lloyd was Taxi. And then we started rolling through Christopher Lloyd, Mary Lou Henner, Danny DeVito, Tony Danza, Judd Hirst, and Andy Kaufman. Mm-hmm. You got six legit stars, people who became famous.
Right there in one show.
In one show. Is there another show where you could say you've got six superstars in one show? In what TV show?
Seinfeld had a few, but I don't think they had six.
They just don't have the numbers.
Right. Friends had a few, but I don't think they had six.
And we're not talking about side characters. We're talking about people who, obviously, you had Newman, you had, some of the Banya, all some of those other players. But we're talking about people who you saw every single week. These are central people to the cast. Can you think of where there were six legit famous people who were stars on a television
altogether,
show?
I just keep going back to MASH. But I don't know if you would consider all of them on the level as Taxi.
So like Cheers had Ted Danson, Shelley Long,
Woody
Harrelson,
Rhea Perlman.
That's four.
George Wendt.
Was George Wendt a star? Was he famous?
I think if you're doing like, you know how like in college basketball, they had the Big Ten ACC Challenge,
yeah,
where the top against the bottom,
yeah,
right? Toward the top, you might have a ball game. But when you start getting down to 4, 5, and 6,
yeah,
I think Taxi's 4, 5, and 6 was bigger than Cheers' 4, 5,
yeah,
and 6.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think like George Wentz was famous for being on Cheers.
Right. And same thing with John
Ratzenberger.
Ratzenberger, thank you.
He's more
you.
Known as a voiceover guy for like the Pixar movies. Now.
Obviously, Frasier. Frasier became very famous too. So I don't know. Cheers is one of the few you would look at and say universally known people that kind of came out of a TV show. But that's, I'd put Taxi up against about just about anybody.
Yeah, and you know, you can laugh at Tony Danza now, but there was a period in the 80s where he was top notch. I mean, he was doing TV shows, he was doing movies, he was doing both of those things.
I know you'll back me up on this. Underrated Tony Danza role, Angels in the Outfield.
Yes, Angels in the Outfield, very underrated Tony Danza role. I will give that to you.
Thank you. Where are we at with the Pacers? You were telling me the betting line is still basically hovering around even.
Milwaukee is a 1.5-point favorite tonight.
How is that even possible based on how bad the Pacers played?
So I think odds makers are saying, okay, we don't think Dame Lillard's going to have that type of a role that
right.
he had in the first half. And the second half, he disappeared, and the Pacers actually made it competitive. Now, did Milwaukee have their foot off the gas? Probably. So they're hoping that Rick Carlisle can make adjustments better than Doc Rivers. Let's not kid ourselves. Doc Rivers is never going to go down in the history of great masterminds of coaching. So hopefully Rick Carlisle can get something going and the Pacers don't shoot 8 out of 36 from 3.
Now, you had a thought-provoking segment you were on with our friend, the coach, Dan Dockett. He has a show on Outkick now. You were on his show this morning, and you had a thought-provoking conversation about the WNBA.
So I'm just hoping that all of these women that are currently in the WNBA don't get a case of jealousy, because we saw that in golf way back in the day. When Tiger Woods was coming up through the ranks, you had all of these golfers that nobody wanted to watch, nobody gave a rat's ass about, complaining, this Tiger Woods guy, he's getting all this attention, he hasn't done anything. They were too stupid to realize he's going to get so many eyeballs to your sport, everybody's going to make more money. And I'm wondering if egos are going to get in the way of the WNBA. The women that are already there, that have won championships, that are playing now, are they going to be so jealous that Caitlin gets all this attention and sells out the arenas? If you look at the ticket prices on the secondary markets for road games, like when the Fever are going to go to New York and Las Vegas and Chicago, normally tickets are anywhere from $12 to $25. They're hundreds of bucks now. So I'm wondering if all of these egos are going to play ball, so to speak.
I think here locally they'll be okay, because if you recall watching the WNBA draft, as soon as she got drafted and they announced it at Cambridge, her teammates were jumping up off the bench and they were excited and cheering for her. So they'll be happy.
Right.
And you'd hope that they'd think, you know, rising tide raises all boats, right?
And if you're going to be the jealous person that goes against her, you've got to go all in and be the villain.
Full heel.
Right. You've got to go full wrestling heel.
You
whether
be-
that's Angel Reese or somebody else. Bird needed a magic. You know, the Pistons, you know, and Michael Jordan had that thing. You've got to have a rivalry to make things good.
We said this, didn't we? Remember we talked about this, that people love personal drama. And you got to have somebody that can be the Rock in the final boss mode against Caitlin Clark, because I think they're going to make her. She doesn't strike me as having the personality like a Rodman or a Reggie or whatever.
She's a baby face.
Right.
She's
going to lean.
She's a good girl.
So you got to have somebody for her to fight with. And I there's a shelf life to this, right? I mean, unless she starts making arenas disappear, she's never going to be able to hit the expectations put forward for her.
Or maybe she gets off and everybody's like, holy hell, this is a once in a generational kind of deal.
I think that about your radio show every day. What's coming
thank
up?
You.
How about that for a transition?
We start at 3:06 this afternoon. We got two different contests. We're going to play Roger Daltrey or Committed Adultery. Or you could win Grand Prix tickets by playing Andretti Petty or Famous for Spaghetti.
Oh, it's back!
It's back.
Yes! Thanks, Hammer. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.